Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Nikki.
Welcome to Swipe Fat.
Where dating's hard.
But dating when you're fat is even harder. Okay, so I'm back on the Apple apps.
You're back on the Apple apps?
Yeah.
The Apple apps. Okay.
No,
you
the Apple apps.
Android? You switched to Android?
I'm calling them the Apple apps.
Okay.
Just makes it fun and quirky and cute.
Okay, you're
unless,
so
like,
different.
Unless, like, I'm on the apps. Gross.
Okay.
The Apple apps.
The Apple apps, okay.
And I started talking to this guy, and he was like, I'm pretty sure that we've matched on other sites. And I was like, we have.
Probably.
Definitely. No, I know we have.
Oh, okay.
And we've talked on them, and I was like, I think we just never met up. And he's like, yeah, I think it just, like, never worked. And now I'm really, okay. So we start texting, and everything's, like, pretty great. And then he just, like, goes radio silent. But this also happened on the app. I was like, I'm never on them either. So I was sort of like, he kind of disappeared. And I was like, here's my phone number. Just text me when you're back on. Mm-hmm. And then he did. And then we were like texting back and forth all weekend. And then he just went, broom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is why we never met up, because you are seemingly too busy to keep this consistent.
And is it always during the weekdays that he stops?
Yeah. Cause I think he works in politics. So he's like, you know, like he's not on his phone during the day because he's always in, like, session and, you know, like, committee meetings and all this stuff. And so, like, I do understand that. But it's, like, this is why you're single. It is so easy to figure out why men are single. Like, it's not that difficult.
Let me diagnose you.
I just figured it out in 2 seconds. It's because you can't fucking text anyone back. And that last guy I dated is because work was more important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then you tell them and they're like, oh, that is my issue. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Anyway, I'm annoyed because he checked a lot of boxes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Once you said politics, I was like, ooh.
I know. He's very liberal. And I love that for me.
Like, are you just on red right now or...
I did a double text because he double texted me at one point. So I was like, I don't feel bad about doing a double text because he already did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't respond to something. And then the next day he was like, hey, like, how's blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, double text. So I did it. And then it's been a few days.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll pop back up this weekend.
I don't want him to, because now I'm annoyed. If this is but this is indicative of what you're going to be like in a relationship.
Yeah.
If you can't even give me enough time to get to know me.
But also, like, I feel like...
I understand where you're going to go with this. And it's that, like, if he was super into me, it wouldn't matter. And it'll, like, end up, like, blah, 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 blah. If we can't even get to that point, though...
No, I think...
If he texts me and does a huge apology and like all this stuff and is like, hey, let's actually figure out a time to hang out, that's different.
Yes, that's different.
But he doesn't
know you yet. So, of course, like in my mind, it's a double-edged sword. He doesn't know you yet. So why is he going to put energy into getting to know you? But he has to get to know you to get to know you to even care about. Like, there's no caring about you yet, but he has to get to know you to care about you. It's a whole loop.
Yeah. You got to try. Yeah. You got to put some effort in.
Yeah.
There's no effort right now.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with the other guy. It was like no effort. And it's like, I understand why you're like a nice guy and not married at 40.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. Like, there are some people who I'm like, you're not a nice guy and you're not married at 40. That's fine. Like, it's sometimes I'm like, how do I pinpoint how you're at 40 and you're not married or like in a relationship? Oh, it's because you're not making it a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why you've been on the apps forever.
Yeah. There needs to be like a couple of ounces of trying in the beginning to to pique your interest enough to be interested in talking to me more.
And I understand, you know? It's like a hard time because we're like in the thick of like, you know,
politics.
Like a big, you know, season. So that's fine. But it's not like
maybe
you explained that.
Yeah. And maybe don't be on the apps looking to talk to people then at this time. Let's wait until after November.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
That gets me to my first
point.
I don't know if this is, well, it's not really a point. I just saw
this.
She
has a notebook, guys.
I have a notebook. Because I've been talking, my friend and I, who are both single, send each other memes and stuff all day. Mm-hmm. And she's been sending me a lot of relationship stuff lately. So I think it's like now all of a sudden it's just flooding me used to be just on TikTok. Now it's on both. Unfortunately, okay. Instagram has become an infiltrated relationship and dating stuff. It's not just funnies.
Ugh, gross.
Hard life. My TikTok has become a different place now. It's just the funnies. I love it.
Okay. Okay.
But it's Instagram.
TikTok is the safe space.
I find that annoying. Okay. So Maria Shriver actually reposted this. I thought this was really interesting that she did. But it was like something she saw on LinkedIn. And it was like this graph that was like one of those moving graphs. So it like kind of shows. So it's how couples met over time. So from the 30s until now, like how people would say like, oh, I met my partner at blah.
Yeah.
So it goes from like the 30s until now. And I just thought, I mean, this, it all makes sense, but I think it was just interesting to watch it in this like moving graph where you can see like the trends of like how things moved. And basically like in the 30s, people only met their their significant other through family. And then in the 60s, bars start winning out, bars and restaurants.
Okay.
And then... I find it so interesting because like how the world was changing, right? So like in the 60s, like there's more freedom, like women were allowed to like be out more, like it wasn't just like soda shops, like people were like, you know, had more flexibility in like what they were doing. 80s, co-workers.
Okay, because women friends, were working more.
Because women were working more. So I thought that was, I mean, it starts in the 70s, right? But then it goes into the 80s. And then 2000, like a rocket from 1998 to 2000. It rockets to online. And now it's up to 60% online.
Online, yeah.
Everything else is, like, very low.
Yeah.
But I just found that, you know, super interesting that, like, the trajectory of, like, how the world is changing, like, completely changed is how people meet.
Yeah. That is, it's like women got rights and things started happening.
Yeah.
Differently.
I know.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So 30s, like all through family. So basically like, I would say like arranged marriage, but essentially, because how else were you meeting people? It was like someone that your dad knew or your mom's mom.
You were
knew.
Being married off.
Kind of.
Yeah.
No, I meant like, do you know how your grandparents met?
Yeah, he was in the Citadel and she met him at like a function.
Okay.
Like, so, which is a military school.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yeah, which makes, and she was a marrying age. So yeah.
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 Mine, my grandma met through a friend, my dad's mom. So that was in the 30s. Well, she was born in the 30s. So I guess like the 40s. And, no, she was born in the 20s. Yeah. Yes. And then my other grandma and my grandpa met at a party, which I feel like was a little scandalous.
Yeah.
And, this is my mom's mom. She was like very bold and, basically was like, "What are we doing here? Are you marrying me? Shit or get off the pot?" Like, you know,
I love that.
Vibes. And that's totally like what she was like. But she like had her eyes, like she was set, you know, like this is mine. He's mine. Everyone leave. Yeah.
How did your parents meet?
They met in getting their master's.
Okay. Mine were school too. Well, sort of. That was, my mom had a huge crush on him in high school and she met him he came back, he went, you know, into the Navy and he came home a few years later, and then they saw each other and they got together. I don't know.
Yeah. So a little bit like she was like, that one's mine.
No, my mom doesn't work that way. I can never see her being that take charge, but yeah. So it's the school.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, so my parents met in the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the 80s for them.
They were in the same class, and I know the lore is that like my they both needed the same book at the library because it was for a paper, and my mom was using the book at the library, and my dad like went over to take it to be like, oh, I need it. And she was crying because her dog had just died, and so he was like, okay, but I need the book. And she was like, be nice to me. And that's like how they met. And then they're both very competitive, and my sister and I are also very competitive. So they had a bet going on who could get the better grade in class. And the person who got a better grade had to take the other person out.
That's cute.
For a certain meal. It was like prime rib, like a whole like thing.
That tracks.
Yeah.
The prime rib.
Mm-hmm. And that's how that all happened.
I don't know full details. And I think it's because, you know, obviously they got divorced when I was very young. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I realize like how much I don't know about that kind of stuff.
I never asked my grandma, my dad's mom, details of how they met. So it's only like through my dad. So I don't know. I know it was like my grandma's friend was dating his brother. So that's how they like met. But she was old for a lady back then.
What was she like? 22?
24.
Oh,
she was like an old spinster at that point.
Yeah, spinster. I'm listening to the Kelly Bishop book, the third Gilmore Girl, and I'm listening to it because of her voice, obviously. And she was talking. So she was a dance. Like, she got her career as a dancer. She was a dancer in New York, and she got married to somebody because she was becoming a spinster at like 24.
Yeah,
even in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, my mom was considered old too when she got married.
Yeah,
she was 24.
Yeah, they had me. My mom had me when I was 26, and that was old. Like, you know,
my mom was 30.
I know. Yeah,
can you even imagine?
No.
They were probably like, oh, that one's not having a baby.
She can never.
Yeah,
that's geriatric.
Yeah, they waited a long time. Yeah. I'm not sure, like, I need to ask my dad this again, but I'm pretty sure like I was told that like he didn't really want children. And I think it was like, I don't know if there was like, they waited because there's like, I feel like there's conflicting lore there, right? Like it's the, they wanted to wait because they wanted to like have fun still, which I do think tracks. I also think it's so fascinating to talk about like, because my dad will bring this up all the time. He's like, when we were young, like the things we did for fun were so different than like what you guys now do for fun. And like, it's because everyone was married. Like, no one was like really going to bars, you know, like we would have dinner parties. And people would come over and we'd have like dinner parties with our friends.
Game nights.
Yeah. And like fondue nights.
Yeah.
And,
like, I want that.
They were born in, you know, it was like they got married. It was the 70s. So
yeah,
like when they had me, it was in the 80s, but the mid. So it was still like early. Like people, I don't feel like really started going to like bars the way that we go to bars until the 80s.
Yeah.
So like my parents didn't even have that. Like my dad like doesn't really understand like the concept of like going to bars. Like he likes to like, if he goes to a bar, it's like to sit and like, you know, and I'm like, oh, we just like stand around. And he's like, I don't understand that.
Well, you do like a seat now, so.
Yeah, because I like to rest my leggies.
Yeah.
You know, and to kick them about. That's what I'm in. Yeah. But like, he was like, yeah, we're just like so different in the ways that like, you know, we had fun. And he also will admit that like the activities that they like to do very much like made so that they were saving money more than like we were, because it's like people weren't really going out during the week. Like, and if you did do something on the weekend, it was usually like having people over. And so, yeah, you spent a lot of money on food. But you and wine and stuff for your house, but it's like you weren't like going to these places where things were more expensive. And I was like, that is interesting, you know, because they bought a house like pretty quickly. And he was like, we were poor as hell, but it's because like, well, I mean, obviously things, inflation and blah, 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 all that stuff. He's like, also, we like didn't leave our home.
Yeah.
Because you get married and then you just stay in your house.
Yeah. You have somebody with to like be with.
Mm-hmm. And like we ate out a lot as kids, but that's only because my mom's family ate out a lot when they were kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think like my grandma didn't love to cook, but also like they were members at a country club. Mm-hmm. And so like they would like go. So that like for my mom was normal. I remember my dad saying like when they started dating and she was always like, let's go eat out and stuff. He'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. You know, like we didn't do that in our family.
I still, there's people here, like our age now that are like, what, like that don't. Like still don't eat out as much or like order out or like, you know.
Yeah, which that, is responsible. I'm trying to be better about that.
Me too. But I think it's like you like swing one way. Like in, mm-hmm. or like you're used to, and so you swing further.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like so, I don't know, probably like once a week you'd be like eating out and then like ordering in like once mm-hmm. a week too. Which I feel like is a lot for like the 90s.
That's about what we
You did too? Okay.
Or like, but ours was like more like fast food and pizza.
Well, like, yeah, I guess we did do,
like, we didn't fast do food like, we weren't doing like nice restaurants.
Yeah, you know? I guess. Okay. So and, one nice restaurant, like a week probably.
Oh yeah. No, that's a lot. That's not.
And then like we would order pizza and then like we would, I mean, if my mom was like taking care of us during the day or mm-hmm. something, or like the our babysitter was like McDonald's
once in a while. So that is a lot for the 90s then. Yeah,
it's officially fall and that means sweater weather is coming,
and you know that pairs perfectly with savory fall foods. But with our busy schedules, sometimes it's hard to take the time to make the foods we want to be eating.
That's where Factor comes in. Their chefs do the shopping and the chopping to bring you fresh, never frozen, fully cooked meals right to your doorstep. All you have to do is heat and eat.
When it comes to meals, everyone wants the same thing, options. That's why Factor offers 35 wholesome meals every week, so you'll always find something you love that suits your lifestyle.
And there's more to Factor than just lunches and dinners. From easy breakfast and smoothies to delectable midnight snacks, Factor has over 60 plus add-ons to keep you fueled and focused 24/7. And with a plethora of flavors, you'll never get bored.
This fall, you've got a lot going on outside of the kitchen. Keep your plans and turn to Factor. They deliver fresh, nutritious, chef-prepared meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Head to factormeals.com/swipefat50 and use code swipefat50 to get 50% off your first month and 20% off your next month. That's code swipefat50 at factormeals.com/swipefat50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next. So
yeah, tell me more about this list.
I was going to say that I feel like, well, it doesn't like 100%. It kind of goes with it, but I do think, okay, so there's this whole study done about like how men flirt versus women.
Mm.
And basically what it came down to is that women basically think men aren't flirting, like ever.
Okay.
Like we never think they're like flirting, and men think that women are always flirting with them.
Okay.
And it was sort of like, I think it was like 60% of men are like, I was flirting like that whole time, but like we think they aren't. And then, you know, women were like, oh, I was flirting like 30%. And they were like, no, they were flirting like 100. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
From a bravado standpoint too, of like, I just think there's like a difference of like confidence there. I mean, I think like men are trained a little bit more to like think that like everyone's interested in them.
Yeah.
And we're not. So I think that to me was pretty interesting. But also to take that information with you into a new situation where like maybe you're talking to someone new. I always have to remind myself because I was notorious about like being like, oh, they don't like me. Men don't do anything they don't want to do.
Yes.
And if they're talking to you on a like consistent basis or they're flirting, like they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to like trust that they like want to be doing that if they're doing it.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Does that chart say anything about the types of flirters there are?
A type of flirter? No.
Yeah. No. Okay.
What do you mean by explain to me a type of flirter?
Well, like, because I have been, it's been pointed out to me the way I flirt is I neg people. I banter. I make fun of them a little.
Yeah.
And that actually, I would love to see a chart like flirting in the US compared to like flirting in the UK. Because like most flirting in the UK is like banter, right? A lot of it is.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't say like, it depends what kind of like making fun you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, showing love is by making fun of someone for sure.
Yeah. So I feel like it'd be easier to know a guy's flirting with you, say like in London, than, you know, in Chicago sometimes.
I'm trying to think. Obviously, everyone's different.
Yeah.
I've only made out with one person in England, and I think that they were they're just like, I actually didn't know he was flirting with me, but he wasn't making fun of me. I had no idea, though. People were like, you're an idiot. He was like only talking to you. And I was like, right. But I think he was, I'm always like, oh, they're just being nice.
Yeah, they want to be my friends.
Yeah, we're just buddies. And
they're bored too.
They're also bored. Yeah. Like we were in a situation where it's like, you don't have anyone else to talk to. So, you know, whatever. But again, men don't do anything that they don't want to do. And like,
that's an important lesson to take from this.
I think so, because
I forget about it.
Yeah. I like went to another wedding in England and I met a guy who was from Chicago and I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing because he lives in Chicago. He knew the people from like when that person had worked at the Chicago office for a little bit. And so he was there and I was like, oh, this is great. So we did talk for a little bit and I was like, I'll know if he's like into this if he comes and talks to me again. And he never did.
Yeah.
That is how you know. He was being nice in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we were introed and like whatever. And then like never heard from him again. The first time I made out with the person in England, like he was following me around like a puppy. I mean, that should have been the sign, but I obviously I needed more.
You know, we're a little aloof sometimes.
I was also 24. I don't think I knew, like, I don't know. I was bad at it. Unless you were, like, literally putting your lips on my lips, I really thought no one was into me. I had so many, like, because in college it's so much easier to, like, be presented with so many more people. But I had, like, two guys at least over those 4 years come up to me and tell me they liked me. And I had zero clue. And I was not into either of them, unfortunately. Like, yeah, I really did think we were just like friends. We did like a retreat together, and so I think you get like really close really quickly because you're like talking about your traumas and like all this stuff. And so I think that one is easy to to miss. Like, I didn't know that they liked me in that way because all of us were doing that with each other, you know, like these like intense combos and like long nights and whatever. But I don't think there were clues there still to this day. I think with other stuff there's been a lot of clues that I've like been like, oh, you're a dummy, that you just like weren't, you couldn't see it because of your own insecurities.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't possibly think that this person could like you or whatever. But yeah, men don't do anything without wanting to.
That's the title. Just kidding.
Okay. This one was interesting. Falling in love without getting attached.
How?
Exactly.
Secure? Your secure attachment?
No. So I think like when you first start talking to someone, it's like you're not really falling in love, but you're like so in like that you're like, oh, this is scary and like I don't know how to like handle myself. And then you start to get anxious and it's like a spiral and you're on like a roller coaster and it's like too much, right? And it's like, how do I stop myself from being like that? This is one girl's way of doing that.
Okay.
She's like, she'll like talk to herself and be like, oh my God, like Trish, I made up her name. Trish, you're like so, like you're so good at attracting good men. It is so crazy that you can attract men who are like cultured and attractive and like pat yourself on the back. Like you are just like, you're so amazing at attracting good people. that she it's basically falling in love with herself instead of falling in love with the guy, because she's like making it all about herself instead of about the guy.
My question is, why doesn't she want to fall in love with the guy?
It's not that you don't want to fall in love. I think it's that you don't want to like get to a point where you're like, so you're so obsessed that it's like anxiety inducing.
Okay. I'm confused about this.
Having anxiety?
No, that I am not confused about. I think when
you really, like someone, you don't want to
using this tool as a tool to not be crazy?
Yeah.
Like, she's still going to date the person.
Yeah.
She's okay. It's not her like convincing that she needs to break up and like she's better.
No.
Oh, it's her tool to be to appear less crazy.
Or to calm herself down.
Calm herself down. Yeah. Yes. Okay. It's a tool. Okay. In my head, she was doing this in like breaking up with the guy because she had other guys that she was so great. She can.
No, I think she's just being like, I am so cool. That like so many people like me, that this guy likes me, that's so cool.
Okay.
So it's sort of like
she just has daily affirmations.
Look at me attracting the right people.
Mm.
Instead of being like, oh my God, this really cool guy likes me. It's freaking me out. Like, yeah. I want to be cool. How do I be cool?
Nobody's ever going to like me again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you like attach in a weird way, or like then you. Like, it, even if they're pulling away, you can't unattach. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a spiral.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Well, got a little ick from you doing the reenactment, but I think I get it in
Jesus, here. Nikki.
It was the voice.
Like, okay. Being like my apologies.
You were like a valley girl.
Okay. I give you the ick in so many ways. I can't even count anymore. So I don't
what know. That's the first time I've ever told you that.
That's not true.
My face probably says it.
That's definitely not true.
But I don't think I've vocally.
Okay. Now let's say you do get to a point where you're too attached to someone.
Oh, does she have a tool for this?
It's from Tinks.
Okay.
And I think I've heard her maybe talk about this before, but I don't think we've ever talked about it on here. That you have to have a situationship funeral.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where
tell me more.
You go to the store and you buy like your favorite ice cream or whatever your comfort food is. Come home, light a candle.
Okay.
And literally, like, sit down and have a funeral where you're like, this is really sad, but Billy died today. Like, we're mourning him and we're putting him out to pasture.
You know?
She's like, it does help. Like, you do not think about them anymore because you're like, he's dead. It's a big compartmentalization tool, and I'm not, but she's like, you do have to, like, the mourning of it is the important part, because like, and I'm sure all therapists would agree, like, you have to feel your feelings, and I think that's what she's trying to say. Sit down, feel your feelings, be sad, cry, like, have a moment where you're like, that's fucking, I'm so sad that that's over, but he's dead, so what can we do?
I think that's really smart, and sometimes Tinks really surprises me.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'm like, Jesus, that's the worst advice ever. I think there's something to be said about, like,
the feeling your feelings part.
Have to feel your feelings.
And telling yourself it's closed, you're done. Like, it's like the finality of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you need help, I would do it with a friend.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, help actually closing the door.
Yes, like having that moment, you know, like mm-hmm. also kind of could be nice because it's like you're eating some food, you have your candle, you're like saying the shitty things about them. Your friend is then there reminding you about the other like things, mm-hmm. you know, so like you can't romanticize it,
yeah,
you know, or there's somebody to get you in check when you start to romanticize.
Yeah, and I think romanticizing is okay too because they're dead. They can't come back.
Yeah.
I think that's the point, is to be like,
you're done.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think you should do that for every not even situation.
No, she said you can't do it for big relationships.
Why not?
She said you can't. Like, why? That's a longer process.
Well, yeah, it's a longer process, but like the
I guess maybe, but like she's like, you actually probably do need therapy for that. That's not like sit down and have a funeral. She actually said that in the interview because they were like, oh, you could do it for anything. She's like, not a divorce and not a long-term relationship.
Okay.
She specifically called it a situationship funeral.
Okay.
I do think, and I understand what she's saying, because I think situationships are harder to close a door on because there's so much of like, well, we couldn't even see this through. Yeah. So I have no idea.
There's so much hope.
Bad. Yeah. There's so much hope. You have to kill the hope.
Really? Yeah. It's a hope funeral.
It is a hope funeral. Yeah. And you just got to like, the guys already had the funeral. They don't care. But like, she's like, it also works for breadcrumbing. Like if someone's breadcrumbing you, like you're still hearing from them, but it's not like they're not making plans, you know, like you can do it for that kind of person, which I guess is still situationship.
That's. Thanks. Sometimes she's smart.
That was on the Girls Gotta Eat podcast. If you do want to go listen to the whole episode. So
okay. I like Girls FYI. Gotta Eat.
Me too. Me too. So they also did a whole episode on Love is Blind recently. And they were comparing all of them to celebrities.
Oh, like their looks or like their personalities?
Looks. Yeah. She said one of, I don't know who was who, but Steven looks like a combination between Shrek and Seth Rogen.
I think that's just mean to Seth Rogen.
I liked him from, Steven was attracted to me. Until his personality came out.
I didn't find him attractive.
Oh, I did. And she said Leo looks like a Jewish Justin Timberlake. And she said that Alex looks like Lizzo. And she did they did side-by-side comparisons. Mm. And I was like, okay, I guess I could see it. I think it was like in the face.
Mm.
Said, and then I think they have the similar noses. Then, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of the other ones.
Who'd they do for Nick?
I can't remember. Hannah, they said looks like any Real Housewife from season 3.
Stop!
I was like dying.
That's so mean.
She does kind of look like Gina from OC.
Oh my god.
I don't know, they were really funny. So if you watch both those episodes. We just did a whole Love is Blind Patreon episode too, if you want to go listen to that.
We talked for too long about it.
It was like over an hour.
It's taken up too much of our lives and the season's not even over. Like,
it's a good season. It's a good season.
It is. I have a friend who said that last season was better, and I was like, I don't think so. This is also better.
Now we're going to talk about it for another 15 minutes.
No.
I'm joking. The UK for sure is my number one season right now.
Oh, yeah.
And then this might be my second.
Yeah.
And then
this has the potential to be better than UK.
I don't know. Can it be?
Just more
UK
drama.
UK was so good, though.
I know, but this has more drama. And if the reunion's better, the reunion for UK sucks. You never even watched it.
I didn't watch it. Everyone told me it sucked, so I just didn't.
Yeah, so if Yeah. This, yeah. It has the potential.
Okay.
But yeah, these are one and two. Like the rest, ta-ta.
Everyone's watching the Habibi one.
Oh, I have not watched.
Me either. Should I try to do it where...
Oh, you cover the screen?
You cover the screen. Yeah, it's like a TikTok trend. You cover the screen. And then... Maybe. I mean, I really want to try it. I just think it'd be fun. Little experiment. I'm going to watch it. Okay. So I guess that'll be like my week. No. That won't be my weekend. When am I going to do it?
I don't know. I'm going to a wedding.
Where is it?
In Chicago. But I have to wear my boot, I think.
Okay. I think that's probably smart.
Well, no.
What if you fell?
I would get to be 6 hours off. So I technically could do the wedding without it. On Friday, it's 6 hours. No boot.
Okay.
I'm weaning.
I know. Do we think it's like a good idea to be off of it in a place where, I don't know. I think that would scare me. But
well, either way, I can't dance, you know, so.
Right. Well, up to you.
I know. Just deciding which way I feel prettier.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Will there be people there that you could meet?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Okay.
Potentially.
Okay.
There's going to be so many people there, I don't know, so.
Yeah.
So maybe no boot.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's going to make you feel less confident, then yeah.
I'll be in flats, so that'll be like a, you know, but it's fine.
Flats are great. I love a flat.
I know, but not in a pretty dress, you know?
We could wear a long dress.
I'm wearing flats. A tea-length dress, a leopard one. It's organza. It's pretty.
Okay.
I rented it.
I figured, since I saw you made a reel about it. About that you had a wedding. Or is it TikTok? Oh.
I opened my newly, yeah.
Yeah, and then you were talking about how you had a wedding.
Oh, well, I can't assume that you see every part of my life on the internet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't assume that you watched it.
Okay. You know?
I have so many people who don't watch stuff.
Okay.
So,
you're acting like it's weird that I know. You told the whole world.
I just from your own assume, mouth. You know, I don't like assuming things
from your own mouth.
What else is in your notebook?
That's all I had.
What do you think about that reel I sent you of Drew Barrymore?
I told you already. I can't stand that she holds hands with everyone.
Okay. Yes, I get that. But they were talking about. Like, basically, the fear and mourning not being single.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
Because that's how you feel.
Because I do. Yeah. Like, there's, like, the autonomy of being single that is really great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I want both. That's what my friend who sent it to me. I was like, I want both. I want to be happy in a relationship, but I would also like, or I guess I'm just, when I finally am in a long-term relationship or say married, I will miss being single and like living alone. Yeah. Like, and so I think everybody does.
You always miss the thing that you don't have.
Yeah.
So like there are parts of being in a relationship I miss and there are parts of being single that I love that I would miss. And mainly like that I get to choose what I watch on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And that I own the remote, even though I keep losing in my house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I get to choose what we eat all the time.
Yeah.
And
I get to choose how I decorate the house.
Yeah. Of course.
To choose what I do without telling anybody what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many, you know, factors. And I think it's like, basically Drew Barrymore-ish, like our parents, not a lot of people are like have to mourn like or like are single for a long time, unless like say they're like divorced or whatever. But like the average person, you know, 60 plus, 70 plus, was never like single in their adult life for a long time. So they don't know this feeling.
Yeah.
They don't know the autonomy.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I thought it was just interesting. And of course, Amelia was just like, I'm excited to Oh, no, she was like, I feel good about being single because I made out with somebody.
Made out with someone.
That's true. That's so true. When you're single and flirting, you feel even better.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, I think like when you're, like, it still goes both ways. There'd be things I'd be sad about.
Yeah.
And you have to like mourn a single girl like way. However, I do think there's ways to like have that independent. If I would say like if you're looking more for companionship, mm-hmm. I think there's like a way to like have a relationship and still be independent. Mm. Like my aunt's older and she's like, I don't want to ever be married again, but like I like having someone to do something with and like hang out and I'm assuming have sex, gross, but you know, like she's my aunt, it's too hard. I can't do it.
I kind of got gross for you too, like, yeah, like just, I'm family, we don't want to think about for it that her, way yeah
whatever but you know do she you? Had like a long-term boyfriend, but they like had their own houses and their own lives and they would just like hang out when it like worked for both of them. You know, so I think you can have that if that's like what you want. But if like what you want is to like share a life together, then you're gonna have to like give up a lot of stuff.
Second, like after my first divorce, 100%
after your first divorce,
you know, I'm just being realistic.
Oh my god,
after my first divorce,
here's the thing, we're too old for that at this point. You almost like it probably won't happen.
My mom's on her third marriage.
Your mom got started getting married when she was younger, though.
Her second marriage was around my age.
Her second marriage, so then she
had a third. I'm just saying, you know, it's like maybe I get married and, you know, maybe a divorce at 50 something, 60 something, or what, or if they die, companionship. I'm just like planning for the future.
Okay. That's so very pessimistic.
It's not, it's realistic. I didn't. Who knew I would be the realist of the two? I'm usually the delusional one.
No. No.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's great. And like after you've had the partnership, I think the companion.
She never really had the partnership.
She didn't.
No, like she got married. It was probably like because she had to. Because that's what you did. I don't think she ever like really wanted to be married. So it wasn't like a happy situation. Mm. And like happy things came out of it, right? But I think like, you know, I think that's how she always wanted to live. And I think that's a great way to compromise it. Like if you want, you can have both. You can have both. It's just a different way of living.
Yeah. The partnership. I want a partnership.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Not partnerships dumb. Are dumb.
Not. It's not dumb. It's not. It's not dumb.
I was like, I don't think you can have a partnership if you think they're dumb.
No, I don't think it's dumb. I said it's dumb for me wanting one, but
gotcha.
It's not dumb. It's very beautiful with the right person.
Got it.
Why'd we end sad? That's my fault. I did this. I did it.
Yeah, your future partner's already dead. That's what happened in this scenario. So this is your fault.
Yeah. That's sorry to my future partner.
Oh my god.
Already wishing death and divorce on
Lord.
You.
Oh Lord. I don't even know how to turn this around.
I don't either.
All right. Put better juju into the air.
When I finally get married, it's going to be a notebook kind of love.
Yeah. You're going to die together in the same bed.
We're
going
to die together in the same bed. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's all, folks. See you later.
Bye.
Follow along with us on Instagram and TikTok at Swipe That.
And if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, join that too.
Just search Swipe That Podcast.
And if you love us, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review.